kind of bad because there's probably more that I, there's more I want to say than are in my notes, and I don't know if I can get it all out with my voice. I want to emphasize some things. I must, if I talk too loud, I'll get worse. Or if I get too excited or just emphasize something. So I hope you'll bear with me on this. And you do have your notes. I just took the phrase for the title from the verse in John chapter 17, verse 1. I'm going to read that verse in its entirety in a few moments, but just by introduction, in John 17, it's the prayer of Jesus. And there's 26 verses that record Jesus' prayer to the Father. And it begins in John 17, 1. Jesus spoke these words. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father. And so that begins the prayer. In verse 3, he prays for us. Because he says in verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. And then there's, like I say, there's 22 other verses that finish up the prayer. But just interesting, that phrase that Jesus prays to the Father and says, this is eternal life, that they may know you. So there's something about eternal life that's more than just knowing the facts of God or just about God. Eternal life means that we need to know God, and that's what Jesus says. So that means there's a relationship that we are meant to enjoy and that we need to appreciate. There's a relationship that we need to develop with God, even though we can't see him or hold him in our hand, but we have information about him, and he still has influence in your life and mine. So I just put in your notes, excuse me, at the beginning, I know some things about God, but do I know him? So now I need to make it personal. I thought to myself a moment ago, you know, I can know about George Washington, but I'll never know George Washington. But there's a difference when we come to know God, because he still lives. Amen. I hope you know that difference. So we want to know God and the things that he's revealed to us. So I just put in your notes again, I can't know everything, and the Bible emphasizes that. Isaiah 55, verse beginning of verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, can you picture that? The heavens higher than the earth. You know, we just sent somebody in space. They didn't reach the heavens. We measure the universe in the term of light years. Distance-wise, God says, for us, the heavens are higher than the earth. That's my ways are different from yours, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. Wow. And you want, and Jesus, you want me to know God? There's some things about him we will never know. We just have to keep searching. In Psalm 145, verse 3, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. So I've listed a couple things that are unsearchable in your notes. In Isaiah 40, verse 28, have you not known? All right, there's that word known or knowledge or know. Have you not known? It's kind of a rhetorical question. Don't you know this? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints or is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. His understanding now. So his greatness and his understanding, unsearchable. In Romans, excuse me, I don't talk like this during the week. Of course, I don't talk during the week. I'm here by myself. In Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches. I'll just chew on a couple words. The depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable, excuse me, are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Wow. Ephesians 3, verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches. Unsearchable, I have cough drops in here, I have water over here. You know, during the day, my voice is not like this. You know, during ladies' Bible class or something, we talk. I don't know why, just in the evening it comes. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. Oh, but those things which are revealed belong to us. Things that are revealed. You know, hang on to that. Hold it. And to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. So we begin by just saying there are some things that we don't know about God. And then point number one, Jesus prayed for us to know God. Now, which is it? So now there's some things that are revealed that God wants us to know and develop a relationship with, not just be able to excel in Bible trivia about God. We want to come to know God. So Jesus said in John 17, these words spoke Jesus, lifted up his eyes into heaven, said, Father, Father, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one and the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. We want to know them, not about them. Well, we don't know about them, but we want to know them, come to know them. You know, you think about one another, we sometimes use that in phrases. Do you know so-and-so? Well, they're an acquaintance. I've met them, but I really don't know them. Meaning, I don't have a relationship with them. We're not comrades. We don't share a fellowship. They're this distance. They're over there. But yeah, but I know who that is. But I don't know them. The same thing in your relationship to God. Is there something, I've heard about God. I have some knowledge about God. But Jesus prays that I want you to know God. That's eternal life. Knowing God, not just knowing about God. Paul testified in Ephesians 3, verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, Paul, what's on your mind when you pray to God? What's on your mind about brethren when you pray, Paul? From whom, and I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven on earth is named. Family. That he would grant you, all right, here it is. Paul is praying. Paul, what's on your mind? God, I want you to grant to my brethren, according to the riches of your glory, for the brethren to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith. Oh, relationship. I want Christ to dwell in my heart through faith. That you, meaning the brethren, Paul is saying, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with the saints the width, the length, the depth, and the height of the love of Jesus. Four directions. I want you to comprehend all of that. I want you to comprehend the width of God's love. I want you to comprehend the length of God's love, the things that he went through when he sent to Christ. I want you to see the depth of God's love, that he lifts us up, as Jeremiah said, up from the miry clay. I want you to see the height of God's love where he places us. See? Comprehend that. Know that. Develop that relationship. You know what I think? When I think about God, there's the width, the length, and the depth, and the height of God's love. Know that. So Jesus prayed for us to know God. And I just put two things. You can expand on this. Because I'm just giving you an introductory lesson. Next week, Lord willing, I'm going to talk about the holiness of God. It's just interesting how the Bible uses phrases, especially in the Revelation, and even in Isaiah chapter 6, in triplicate, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Why three times? I'll answer that next week. Why three times using the word holy, holy, holy? But that next week. So I put in your notes number two. If we don't know God, I just put these two things. And one on number two. Yeah. We're going to become like whatever we worship. In Proverbs 4, verse 23, you're familiar. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So what do you think about God? What you think about God is going to move your emotions or move your mind. It's going to move your feet in that direction. For out of your heart are the issues of life. In Proverbs 23, verse 7, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what do you think about God? If he's is he personal in your life? Do you count on him? You know, take your cares and burdens to him, and not, you know, to one another too. You know, pull in all the resources, but don't leave God out. If God's your treasure, you're going to be materialistic. If your God's yourself, you're going to be self-focused. See? You're going to walk in the direction you're looking. If you're looking out at the world, that's the direction you're going to be going. But if you're looking up, that's the goal. That's so Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, because the first couple, several verses, seek those things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above. Seek and set on things above. And if that's your thought, if that's your mindset, that's where your worship is going to be. So if your worship is your treasure, you're going to be a materialistic person. If your worship on self, self-sufficiency, self-righteousness, self-centeredness, you're going to be self-focused. Second, if you do not know God, if you don't have a relationship with God, you're going to reap eternal separation from God. 2 Thessalonians 1, beginning of verse 7. To you who are afflicted, rest with us. Paul says, come over on my side, our side. Rest with us at the revelation of Jesus Christ from heaven with his angels in flaming fire. He'll render vengeance on those, the two things. Going to render vengeance on those that know not God. It doesn't mean that people that don't have God, their knowledge. It means that those that don't have a relationship with God. Those that know not God. Not knowledge. Those that don't have knowledge of God. Those that know not God. They have an established relationship with God. And then second, and upon those who obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his might. You see the importance and the significance of knowing God? Because if you don't know God, you're going to worship a God that you've designed. And then second, you lose out on eternity. So we want to be impressed with knowing God. Number three, I just put in your notes, we're made to know God. Now remember, I can't list all those verses. Remember all those verses. You remember all those verses that talk about God? I can't read 320 verses, but I pulled some out that I think are significant and important just to establish a point here. So we're made to know God. Like in the beginning, I didn't put that one in your notes, but in the Genesis 1 verse 26, let's make man in our own image. We're made in the image of God. Wow. God made me in his image. We're made to know God. Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. Psalm 62, verse 5, my soul, speaking to himself, my soul, wait silently for God alone. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock, my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength. My refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. 10 things. We're made to know God. To know God. God's put just 2 things. God's revealed Himself. I just put 2 ways. He's revealed Himself many ways. First of all, in creation, Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. But creation doesn't tell you anything about the requirements of God. You understand that? People think, I know God, I love God, but they worship God's creation. Wait a minute. Creation doesn't tell you how God wants to be worshiped. Creation doesn't tell you how to have your sins forgiven. Creation just reveals there's a God. The heavens declare the glory of God. They show His handiwork, that's right. It tells you that there's a designer. It doesn't tell you how many designers. You get that? And some people, so because of that, we don't know. So you can't go to creation out there to that bush and say, can you tell me how to have my sins forgiven? That bush can't tell you anything that way. Can you tell me how God should be worshipped, or however many gods there are? Can you tell me how they're to be worshipped? No. God has to reveal Himself in Scripture for us to know God, more about Him. I can say, I know there's a God, but I don't know much about Him. Except I can see, there's a designer. Yeah, things are in order. Some things I can know. Paul said in Romans 1, verse 20, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, God's attributes, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that you're without excuse. So we're made to know God. Creation tells us there's a creator or creators. Second, God's revealed Himself in His Word. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, John says that truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples or apostles, which are not written in this book. But these are written. Why? Why did God put His characteristics, His love, His all those attributes in His book, in a book? These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through His name. See? Yeah, God reveals Himself in creation, but He doesn't tell us how He wants to be worshipped in creation. Doesn't tell us how to have our sins forgiven. Doesn't tell us how to get along. Creation doesn't tell us how to get along with one another. Creation is very limited in what it reveals about God. So God reveals Himself through His Word. Revealed Himself when He sent His Son. Jesus said, "If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father." Jesus, what is there about you? Well, I went about doing good. I gave my life for you. Now we know something about God, about His attitude, His emotions. Okay. The last one, number 4, we have encouragement to know God. In 2 Peter 1, verse 2, I've been talking longer than I thought I would. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. Think knowledge of God is not important? I'm going to appreciate God's grace and mercy the more that I know Him. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Oh, I want to know about that. Through knowledge of Him who called us. Verse 5, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge. acknowledge about God is not important. Peter's giving us encouragement to know more about God, have a relationship with God. Verse 8, same chapter, for if these things are yours and abound, you won't be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 3, verse 18, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. So we see the encouragement. I just put the very last, give God priority. Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing, here's the priority. Same time you see, seek, Jesus says, seek first. This verse says, one thing. I've desired of the Lord. What's one thing you've desired of the Lord, psalmist? That I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord. Relationship. I just don't want to know the facts about the Lord God. I want to have a relationship. I want to behold his beauty. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord, thank goodness, know that the Lord, he is God. It's he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. So this first lesson is just kind of an introduction. I want to give you about the value or appreciation in establishing a relationship with God. I want to tell you some of the things that the Bible reveals about God, but it's more important that in looking at these attributes of God that we establish that relationship. The last verse I'll just read, it's kind of an application. In Jeremiah chapter 9, beginning of verse 23, I put that one in your notes. The very end. Here's the whole verse. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. All right? There's a wise man. Don't glory in your wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. There's a mighty man. Strong. Don't glory in your might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. So there's the wealthy man. There's those people that have the billions and billions. Don't glory in your riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I'm the Lord, that I'm the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. So if you're going to glory, amen. Don't glory in self-sufficiency or your accomplishments and things like that. But that you glory in this, that you understand and know the Lord. That's where we need to glory. So that's the first lesson. So again, like I said, next week, Lord willing, I haven't got the lesson up yet, though. So I'm going to give you a lesson on the holiness of God a little bit. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement. Not a member of the New Testament church, you have that opportunity to establish a relationship with God, becoming a child of God, family member, an heir of God, all those spiritual blessings. So we're going to, Dennis, make your way to the front, and we'll sing this song of encouragement.
Number 912.
912. Let's stand together as we sing this song. That's your desire, that's your resolve to respond in a public way. Just let it be known at the close of this song.